Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is Perek Lamed, Chapter 30 of Sefer Yechezkel, of the book of Yechezkel, a further discussion of Mitzrayim and their flaws and things that are wrong with them. Perek Lamed Aleph will also be that, from a slightly different perspective, and that's one of the questions that you always have to think about. Lamed Aleph will be that, Lamed Bet will be that, and I think Lamed Gimel will switch gears. One of the questions to think about is, what is the purpose of all of these different chapters on these different kings? So in each case until now, we've sort of seen some differences within the chapters, within the emphases, within the points of view or the perspectives being taken of the nation whose downfall or whose problems are being prophetically announced. But in this parak, we're going to have to work a little harder at seeing that, because the themes do seem fairly similar to themes we've seen already in the previous discussion of Mitzrayim. So let's see. Parak Pasuk Aleph, Yidvar Hashem Elamor Ben Adam Hinaveva Amarta Ko Amar Hashem Lokim. So give a nevuah and say, this is what Hashem says. That's pretty ordinary. Heililu Ha Layom. So Heililu is to call out. So Ha Layom is sadness over the day. So Heilul HaYom is declare your sadness over the day. Why? Ki karov yom mekarov yom LaHashem, because the day is coming and it's getting near. A day of Hashem, yom anan, a day of cloud. Eit goyim yeh, a time of nations, it will be. So Rashi in Eit goyim says Eidan tivar amimayin, a time for the destruction of nations. So Hashem is saying, be prepared, be ready for the fact that your time of destruction approaches.
And so it goes on, V'acher of Mitzrayim, the sword will come through Egypt, V'itachal chalal b'chush, and will spread to Cush, bin full chalal b'Mitzrayim, there will be chalal chalal, there will be trembling and fear in Cush when Mitzrayim is falling in the war. V'lachu hamonav in Heresiyah, so then Egypt's wealth is going to be taken, and all of its foundations are going to be overthrown. So the destruction or the problems that are going to happen to Egypt are not only problematic for Egypt, but for all the nations around Egypt who had sort of bought in and accepted Egypt's sovereignty and seen Egypt as the center of their world, the center of their economy, the center of their functioning. So the destruction of Egypt will therefore be extremely distressing to them, because it will be a shaking not only of technically those people from whom they got wealth and things like that, but it will be a breaking or an attack on, a shaking of the foundations of their world. And so that's, I think, what is going on here, part of what's going on here. As I was pointing out, that you have to be ready for that. You have to be ready for the fact that you are going to undergo a profound shock to your system. Kush, Ufut, Velud, V'chol Ha'erev, V'chuv, V'neir, Tabrit, Etam, Itam, B'cherev, Yipol. And then aside from the psychological devastation that will be wrought, many of the surrounding nations, you have to go geographically through it. Kush and Put and Lud and V'chol Ha'arav. So the Radak says, and V'chol Ha'arav is an Am Mekubatz Me'amim Nit'arvu Yachad. So the Radak at least places V'chol Ha'arav. I'm sorry, V'chol Ha'arav V'chuv V'nei Eretz Abrit. We call Arabs from Arabia, and we call them Arabs. So that root, the Radak at least, and in those times didn't have any of the political charges that it has today, but the Radak sees it as because they come from, they were gathered together from a sort of collected group of different peoples. So all of them will also fall with the Egyptians. So that's the first piece of this prophecy. It's just a destruction. There's going to be destruction of Egypt, there's going to be trembling in the area, and then destruction of the area as well, because they're going to get caught up in Egypt's downfall. So it has something of it, and I think this is just relevant to point out, and I may have done it before, if so I apologize, but it has something of the superpower theory of the world, by which I mean that Hashem seems to focus at any particular time on one group or one superpower, one authority in the world. So there was a time when it was, well, Tzor was certainly a piece of it, but here we've seen it be true of Tzor, now it's true of Egypt, and Egypt therefore, when it goes, or when it's going to go, when its downfall will come about, that downfall doesn't only affect it, it affects all those around it, and they will not only be upset by it, that would be one level, but they will be caught up in it, and that the downfall will affect them as well,
and they too will be laid up in it. So this sort of connects to another, I don't know if interest is the right word, but another concern of mine, namely the question of to what extent are we independent actors and to what extent are we caught up in the systems and in the realities of the time in which we live. So there's a book that I may have mentioned on other occasions called The Lucifer Effect, in which there's a psychologist who became famous because in the early 1970s he did an experiment at Stanford in California, and he had to cut the experiment short because the experiment was to assign randomly, relatively simple, similar people, assign them randomly, some to be prisoners and some to be guards, and then they lived there 24 hours, but that was all that they did. They were supposed to be prisoners and guards, he had to cut short the experiment even before it was supposed to be 2 weeks, even before 1 week got out, because the guards were becoming too brutal and the prisoners were becoming too docile, except for some who had to be excused because they were going crazy. Some were just resistant and couldn't stand it. But many others were just getting very docile and taking all of the abuse that they were being given. So part of what the lesson he learns from there is that a lot of who we are depends on the system in which we are found. Not all, and he doesn't take moral responsibility away from those who do evil, and he's very careful in all of that. But that he says much of who we are in life and what horizons we have and what we see as plausible or not plausible depends upon the atmosphere in which we are found. So here too, for these people, Egypt became a part of their identity, part of their reality, and therefore, or in some way connected to that, they were caught up in the destruction that was going to happen to the Egyptians. So that was the first part of the parak. Now another section, Kolmar Hashem v'nafusum chay Mitzrayim v'irad ga'un uzah, those who support Mitzrayim are going to fall as well, and its strength is going to fall. All the way from Migdol Sveinei. So the JPS thinks it's Migdol to Sveinei. That would be one way to read it. Or it could just be the name of the Migdol was Sveinei, but it doesn't tell you how far it goes. So they are going to fall by the sword. That's what Hashem says. And then they will be the desolate among the desolate areas, and they'll be among the most. Many of you saw an internet list of destroyed cities, of ruined cities. You would find the cities of Egypt in the top 10 lists. And then we come back to this theme that we've seen before, that with all the downfall comes knowledge of Hashem, and with all of its helpers being destroyed as well. So that's going to take a lot of open-mindedness to be able to see Hashem there, right? You're going to have to come to accept that the punishments that happen and the natural disasters and the swords, you could have just said, well, it's Nebuchadnezzar. He's the world power at this time. Politically, he was on the uprise for who knows why, and that's why it happens. So the expectation of Yechezkel, that Yadu, Keni Hashem, the expectation of Hashem, speaking through the voice of Yechezkel, that Yadu, Keni Hashem, when the fire comes to Egypt and when all of its helpers are destroyed, that will take, I think, a sophisticated ability to recognize Hashem's hand in the world. So on that day, I'm going to send out messengers. Malachim will go out before me, milafanai, at my bidding, batsim, lahachrida kush, to strike fear into kush. So batsim, where the Radak says, are ships, and it like tsiyim. Except that one of the yuds fell off. And so that's what he says. So he says that Hashem is the gozer, the gzerah, and they call him malachim. So he thinks that it's all about the enemy agents and ships and the enemy soldiers who will destroy Egypt. They're called malachim because they are sent by Hashem. But it doesn't mean malachim like angels. It's malachim in the sense of being sent by Hashem. Rashi even says a similar thing as well. Rashi thinks it's reference to the various armies and troops and brigades, and that they are messengers of God, and they're gonna strike fear into Cush, and they're gonna be secure, or Cush had been secure. I'm sorry, Cush, which had been secure. So that security, I just would want to point out, is part of the problem, right? If Cush was more ready, or Mitzrayim was more ready to understand that Hashem is Hashem, and then take a little bit of punishment, and from that little bit of punishment, learn that it's coming from Hashem and change their ways, then more punishment or more destruction or more downfall would not be necessary. So that's a key thing to think about and to follow. That they will shake in fear when Mitzrayim is destroyed because it's coming. If they don't shake in fear, then what will Hashem need to do perforce? Hashem will need to find other ways to make the point and other ways to get them to understand Ki Ani Hashem. So this is a prediction, and it's almost a hopeful prediction, that this level of destruction, but it would go on from there, because the
the effect, the result, is necessary and will necessarily come. The only question is how we'll get there. Could happen just because of Har Sinai. Theoretically, could have happened. The whole world would recognize Hashem and stick to it, but that didn't happen. And therefore, on and on and on, it gets worse and worse. But at some point, it's going to have to be V'yadu Kiyani Hashem. So, Pasuk Yud, Ko'amar Hashem Elokim, V'yishbati et hamum Mitzrayim v'yadu muchan retzar melech bavel. I'm going to take away all of the wealth of Egypt, and it's going to go into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. Hu v'amo ito aritzei goyim. He, in all of his nation, whose GPS on aritzei goyim, thinks that it means the most ruthless of them, meaning they just destroy whoever they come across. Muvayim v'shachedars, and they're brought there to destroy Egypt. And they're going to unsheath their swords, and they're going to use them repeatedly, and they're going to fill the land with corpses. And then I'm going to make the rivers dry up. And I'm going to let the land be taken over by evildoers. I'm going to lay the land waste and desolate. I'm in the hands of strangers. I am Hashem who... I, Hashem, have spoken. So this last piece, Pesukim Yud, Yud Aleph, and Yud Bet, focused on the fact that Mitzrayim is going to lose its place, lose its own land, lose control over its land, and lose the productivity of its land, right? The drying up of the Yorim. So one question I would perhaps wonder about is, does the drying up of the Yorim mean that it happened before Nebuchadnezzar ever came there? And was that the beginnings of the weakenings of... of Mitzrayim, and so that when Mitzrayim was conquered, meaning, could a historian have come back and look at what happened in Mitzrayim and say, oh, you know what, the Egyptians lost for this and this reason. They lost because their rivers started drying up, and they didn't have the same economy they once had, and therefore, that's what led to the downfall of Egypt. So if they could, if that could happen, if that is a plausible reading or understanding of what's going on, you see some of the challenge in saying, and Hashem is saying repeatedly, "V'yadu k'ani Hashem," that they'll know that I am Hashem, because in fact, it's not so simple that they'll know that Hashem is Hashem, because there are other indicators. But nonetheless, it's expected, or it's supposed to be expected, that people will draw the right and accurate lessons when Hashem acts in the world and brings punishment to various groups. Pasuk Gimel Kamar Hashem Elokim Avadti Gilulim Vishbati Elim Minof V'Nasim Eretz Mitzrayim Lo Yod V'Nadati Yirah BeEretz Mitzrayim. So we're going to end all the idols, and there's not going to be any princes. So the princes are the leaders, and the leaders often turn into become arrogant, become aware of themselves, and promote forms of idol worship that root down to their glory. And all that is going to go away. Vashimoti Et Patros. The various cities and areas around Egypt that I'm going to destroy or put fire in or judge. I'm going to pour out my anger against sin, the stronghold of Egypt. And I'm going to totally destroy Hamon No. So I think this is largely saying similar things to what we've already said, and there's no need to belabor these points. V'netati eish b'mitzrayim chul tachul sin v'noti yelehi bakeya v'nof tzari yomam. And then all these cities will become sort of fodder for the fire. V'netati eish b'mitzrayim chul tachul sin, it will become reduced. And it will become afraid and profaned, and no will be torn apart, and then it will be like for firewood. And all of the best young men of these places, of these various cities, will fall by the sword. And they will also be taken out into exile. Just point out that Rashi calls thinks of No as Alexandria, which was a proud and important city at the time. And in Pasuk Yizayin, Bachuri Aven, so the Radak suggests it's not just Bachuri as in the young men, but Bachuri, like Kohane, where the Radak comments, V'Efsharshi On, HaKatuv V'Torah Kohane On. So it might just be the name of a place rather than people doing the wrong thing. And they're going to go into
captivity. V'nimashvite lachna. Right. The Radak thinks that maybe it's going to be the women who are going to go into the Shvi. The men will fall by the sword, and the women will go into captivity, which is also a terrible fate. Ovit chaf neches. So the Radak points out that normally we pronounce the word tachpan ches, but here it's ovit chaf neches. Chasach hayom v'shivri sham imotot mitraim v'nishbad ba ga'onza hi'anan yechasena uvnoteha v'shviti lachna. So, Yecheskel says that in Techaf Neches, so the GPS English points out, it's clear to anybody who has come across this name before that we would normally call it Tachpan Ches. Of Techaf Neches, the day will grow dark when I'm breaking the bonds of Egypt, and then they'll lose all of their pride, they're going to be covered by a cloud, and all of its daughters, meaning its citizens, are going to go into captivity. And I will judge and execute judgment against the Egyptians, and they will know that I am Hashem. So, just to catch up a second, Vayikra Rabba, there's not so much in Chazal on this, but Vayikra Rabba compares the Jews to the non-Jews. And so, one example would be, if the point of the non-Jews are called an Eidah, the Jews are called an Eidah, but the Jews are called a good Eidah, the non-Jews are called a bad Eidah. The non-Jews are called Kiyadat Chanev Galmud, and the Jews have been called an Eidah in many places. So in that context of showing how the Jews are good and the non-Jews are not always, are often not good, the Vayikra Rabba, of course, Rabbi Yitzchak was saying that they, Umat Umot HaOlam Ein Lahen Somchim, they don't have anybody to back them up and to support them and be on their side. Shneimar v'naflu somchim b'tzrayim, they'll fall. Yisrael shneim somchim, shneimar v'samchuzik nei ha'idah. But the Jews will have a backbone, they'll have a leadership who will be able to help them out and hold them up. That's interesting, just an interesting concept to see that Hashem is promising here that Mitzrayim will not only lose its power, but will lose those who would have shored up that power, the support system for Mitzrayim. And then the last one I wanted to point out was that the Psikta Rabati in Piska Yuta, which is in Vayishlach, points out that anybody who tries to hurt the Jewish people is worthy of having their arms broken. The Chazal say it as anybody tries to hurt the pikadon, the bailment is the English word. If I leave something with you to be watched, and somebody else tries to break it, or you try to break it, the watcher tries to break it, so they deserve to have their arms broken. And they draw it by analogy. It's obviously not meant halachically. It's meant by analogy because you see that Paro was given the Jewish people to watch over on behalf of Hashem. Right? This is part of the Rebbe and Pterim that Hashem says, you got to know I'm going to send your children into exile. So the Jews went to Egypt, and he wanted to take from them and take them and do stuff to them, and that's wrong. So he, as a shomer, as a watcher, deserves punishment, and therefore Hashem breaks his zeruah. That's the metaphor that's used. Shneimar ben adam et zeruah paro melach mitzrayim shavarti. I'm going to break their zeruah. That's a puzzle we haven't gotten to yet. So let me just quickly get up there. Pasuk chaf and chav aleph. Vayhi b'chadash v'shana v'rishon v'shiva l'chodesh. So in the 11th year, in the first month, in the seventh month, they had Hashem alayhi more, and then Hashem speaks to him, and he's getting much closer to the Churban Vayit. Ben adam et zeruah paro melach mitzrayim shavarti. So Hashem comes to Yecheskel and says, listen, I have broken the Zeruah of Melech Mitzrayim. It's not going to be healed, not going to get medicine, it's not going to put bandages on it or anything like kind of things that would make it strong enough to hold a sword, meaning it's going to become useless. So on that is where the Psikta Rabbati brings up this whole idea of having a pikadon, and it says that, how do you know it's a pikadon? Because Hashem says to Moshe, pakod pakadati etchem. And the reason why Hashem says that to Moshe is because the Jewish people thought had given up on Hashem ever saving them. And so Hashem says, just like somebody never gives up on a pikadon when they leave something with somebody else, but they always come and they take it back, so do that's going on with me. I am coming to take back my pikadon. So that image of a pikadon then fuels the Medrash is saying, so the punishment that goes to Mitzrayim is the punishment for improperly watching over a pikadon. That whole imagery, I think, is worth paying attention to, because here we don't have a lot of emphasis in this parak on what Mitzrayim does wrong. We've seen in earlier chapters that Mitzrayim, that the Egyptians seem to have been over self-confident, but here I think this line, this pasuk, gives us the sense that a large part of what they're being blamed for is not so much what they did as for their inability
to refrain from doing. Meaning, Hashem, if the imagery is that Hashem left a pikadon with the Egyptians, then they were supposed to treat it as a pikadon, and they're coming to do things to that pikadon and take it for their own and try to enslave it and break it. And this was a denial of the fact that they had a pikadon, and that's where the punishment originally stems from. It's not so much the particular meannesses, the particular evils and brutalities that the Egyptians did to us, but it was the whole underlying background to their ability to do so, that they didn't recognize or refused to recognize that the Jews had been entrusted to their care for a certain period of history. I'm going to break his arms at Chazaka Vetanishbaret Vihipaltira Cherev Miyado. So Hashem says, Elohim says, I'm going to go to the king of Israel, I'm going to break his arms, the stronger one and the weaker one, and I'm going to destroy his idol from his hand. Vihipaltira Cherev Miyado. I'm going to take away all the power from him, all the ability to wreak havoc or destruction. Scatter them among the nations, and disperse them throughout the country. I'm going to strengthen the arms of the king of Babel. I'm going to put my sword in his hand. The arms of the king of Babel, and I'm going to give him a sword. I'm going to break Paro, and he's going to cry out as in the ways that people who have been struck down, people who have been wounded, do. So this also sort of goes back to what I mentioned before about the possibility that Hashem has this idea of a single superpower, at least back then, a single superpower in the universe, and that single superpower's job would be to enforce Hashem's vision for what the world is supposed to look like, meaning that a good superpower would be one that punishes those who go against Hashem's will, and a not-so-good superpower is one that says, well, I am in charge and I am the ruler now of the world, and Hashem clearly gave me, he doesn't understand Hashem gave me that rule in order to be a bad, for being a bad king, you just say, and I don't have to pay attention to the rest of it. I'm in charge, I'm here, and that's what I care about, and that's what I'm going to do. So that's what Mitzrayim seems to have done. And now what the Nevuah is telling us is Hashem saying, well, so it's going to come to an end, and the way it's going to come to an end is that I'm going to break the arms of the Egyptians at the hands of the, so it's not just to break the arms of the Egyptians, at the hands of the Babylonians who have now become, or are becoming, Hashem's designated executors of judgment, and then they will complain to the Egyptians. V'hachazakti et zirot melech bavel, uzro paro tipolna, when it strengthen the arms of the king of Bavel, and the arms of Paro will fall, and here arms would not necessarily mean literal arms. It could be that here arms means all the ways in which Paro pulls the strings in the world, that controls the world, will run dead, meaning they will not be there anymore. So the power grid, as it were, will have been taken away from the king of Egypt, and it will be, oh, and then it will be relit once this guy is out of the way. The power will come back to them, and they'll be able to get their power back. But then, before any of that could happen, is they're going to be scattered in the nations, as we saw earlier in the parak. So the scattering in the nations is supposed to be for them to begin to learn their lesson and get their points and get their understanding of the way it's supposed to work. So to bring the chapter together, you have it all circles around things that we've seen before. It's the breaking of the power of Egypt. That breaking of power will extend not only to Egypt itself, but also to the other nations that supported it. And the way that it will be broken is that another superpower will step in, and they will defeat them and scatter them. And that is what will happen to them. And then part of what will happen is that their natural resources will dry up, and that will maybe be the cause of their downfall or a result of their downfall, and then they will be scattered among the nations, and in all of this they will eventually learn and see Hashem and Hashem's power. So once again we end another parak with the hopes that at some point some segment of people in the world, at least the Jewish people, maybe even many of the non-Jewish nations around us, will come to learn these lessons and accept them and see them as true. Have a great day.